Hi, this is Chris. Welcome to Adventures in Odyssey.
Oh, hi there. Welcome to Odyssey. I'm John Avery Whittaker, but most folks around here call me Whit. Why don't you get the whole family together and join us for another exciting Adventure in Odyssey?
His story starts in Gilead.
Give us his name!
Jared DeWitt with OT Action News.
Our judge!
It was actually a very common occurrence in biblical times.
These folks have never heard of the people's right to know!
Now, Kids Radio at Wit's End presents another edition of Adventures in the Bible. I'm your host, John Avery Whittaker, and today we're going to start off by taking a phone call from one of our listeners. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Mr. Whittaker. My name is Lisa.
Oh, yes, Lisa. You have a question?
Yeah, I have this acquaintance. His name is Nick.
Yeah, what about him?
Well, he likes to use a certain phrase that I don't think he should be using. The phrase, I swear. He says it whenever he wants you to believe him.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report. Here is Brink Chetley.
Crisis in the Middle East. This is Brink Chetley in the OT Action Newsroom, reporting on a rapidly developing situation in the Transjordan region circa 1089 BC. A hostile tribe of Arabic people known as the Ammonites have declared war on the Hebrew nation and has already occupied a large section of Israelite territory. OT Action News reporter Jared DeWitt is live on the scene with an update. Jared, where exactly are you?
Brink, I'm in a region called Gilead, and I am standing just outside a large canvas structure known as a tent of meeting. It is well named, as you can hear, because inside, the leaders of Israel are trying to decide what to do about the current crisis. I'm moving in closer so we can listen in.
Brothers, please! Quiet, please! We will never get anywhere if we keep arguing this way.
That is easy for you to say, Gamaliel. Your lands have not yet been invaded. Let us see how calm you are when your family has been carried off and your crops burnt.
What are we going to do, Gamaliel? We have no armies on our farms. Certainly nothing capable of stopping the Ammonites.
And it is not enough to simply stop them. They must be driven from the lands they have already occupied.
But how? And by whom?
There is someone who may be able to do the job.
Who?
He is a mighty warrior and already has a large following of men.
That is just what we need.
Who is it?
But he may exact a great price in return for his services. Are you willing to pay it?
Yes. Yes, anything.
The name, Gamaliel. Give us his name.
His name is Jephthah.
Jephthah.
Jephthah. Are you serious? We cannot allow him to become the champion of Israel.
And what of your lands, your families? Will you allow Israel to be overrun by Ammon because of your pride?
It is a difficult decision, Gamaliel.
I really don't see that we have much choice, brothers. What do you say?
Very well, Gamaliel. We will turn to Jephthah.
And pay what he asks?
We will.
You heard for yourself, Brink. Gamaliel is going to try to buy protection for the Israelites from Jephthah.
Jared, is there any clue as to just who this Jephthah might be?
No, Brink, but I find it very interesting that all the leaders were so wary of him. I'll see what I can find out.
I think it'd be better if you stuck with Gamaliel, Jared. We'll have the OT Action News staff find out about Jephthah.
Oh, well, okay. If that's the way you want it, I'll go with him to keep you up to date.
Of course, that's the way I want it. I'm the anchor. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back. Well, we've heard some interesting developments, to say the least. And we will have that report on Jephthah and why so many of the Hebrew leaders were reticent to seek his help just as soon as our OT Action News staff has it available.
Meanwhile, for some background and analysis of this obviously tense situation between the Jews and the Ammonites, let's turn now to our resident Middle East expert, Eugene Meltzner. Eugene, welcome.
Greetings, Mr. Chetley. It's good to be here.
Let's start with the obvious. Just who the Ammonites are and why they're attacking the Israelites.
Well, Brink, the Ammonites trace their ancestry to the youngest daughter of Lot.
Lot of Sodom and Gomorrah fame, whose wife turned into a pillar of salt.
Precisely. In Hebrew, their name originally meant son of my paternal clan, suggesting that Ammon was an actual person who was perhaps related to the Jews.
Well, if that's the case, then why are they attacking the Israelites?
A good question, without an easy answer, I'm afraid. The two nations have warred with each other over various and sundry reasons ever since the Israelites occupied the promised land, Canaan, which is the usual reason for their conflict as well.
Well, we've just heard that the Ammonites seem to be engaged in some sort of land grab. The question is, why?
Only the Ammonites know the answer to that, Brink.
Indeed.
If I may get back to the name of the Ammonites for just a moment, it seems that in the mid-second millennium...
I'm sorry to cut you off, Eugene, but I've just received word from our director that our crack OT Action News staff has found file footage of this Jephthah person about his early life. An interview conducted by our own Charles Gestalt. Do we have it queued up? Very good. All right, let's roll it then.
His name is Jephthah. It means set free, which is appropriate because that's exactly what happened to him in his early life. His story starts in Gilead, where he was the keeper of his father's sheep. And that's where we first caught up with Jephthah.
Water is very important in the desert.
Oh, I can imagine.
This well is the only one for miles around. It's been in my family for generations.
You! Jephthah! What do you think you're doing there?
Watering the sheep, brothers.
Don't call us brother.
We share the same father. Why should I not call you brother?
Gilead was our father, yes, but your mother was an inferior.
We stayed quiet while our father was alive because he desired it. But now that he rests with his ancestors, that will end.
Right. You are not our brother. You have no place in this house.
And you have no right to our family's water.
I am getting water for the sheep.
Not from this well, you're not.
Begone, you scum.
Yes, get out. Leave! Leave this place!
Out!
Leave your business here!
Leave.
Angered by his half-brother's snobbery, Jephthah moved to the land of Tob, where he became the leader of a band of rather unscrupulous men. What else does life have in store for Jephthah? Time will tell. I'm Charles Gestalt.
Well, that certainly solves the mystery of why the Hebrew leaders reacted to Jephthah the way they did. I think that... I've just received word that Gamaliel has arrived at Jephthah's home in Mizpah. We take you now to Jared DeWhite. Jared, what's happening?
Brink, I'm just outside Jephthah's house, where there are a lot of people milling about. I have talked to several of them and have learned why the Hebrew leaders were so wary about Jephthah.
Jared...
Apparently, the Hebrew leaders kicked Jephthah out of their lands when he was a young boy because of some sort of scandal involving Jephthah's mother.
Jared...
And get this! Those same Hebrew leaders are really Jephthah's brothers.
Jared, we already know all of this.
You do?
Yes, we just heard a report on it.
Really? Wow, you guys are good.
We know. But that's not important now. Can you tell us what is happening at Jephthah's house?
Oh, sure. Well, nothing much, really. Gamaliel stopped on the outskirts of town to prepare himself for the meeting. He should be here any... Wait! Here he comes now. I'll get closer.
Jephthah! Jephthah! He's Gamaliel!
No answer so far. Maybe Jephthah is... Wait! There's activity inside the house. Someone's coming out now. It's a goat.
A goat? From inside the house?
This is a multi-level home, Brink. I guess they keep animals on the ground floor or something. Wait, there's more stirring in the house now. Someone's coming out.
Not a camel, I hope.
No, it's a woman.
Gamaliel, I welcome you to the house of Jephthah.
Who are you?
I am Adina, Jephthah's daughter.
Daughter?
You are my uncle, are you not?
Yes, Adina, I am your uncle.
So, you finally admit the truth, eh, brother?
Jephthah! Yes, I admit it. We are brothers.
That can only mean one thing. You want something. What is it?
You know of our troubles with the Ammonites.
I would be a poor leader, indeed, if I did not know that which my lowest private knows.
I have been sent by our brothers and the heads of the other families of the land of Gilead to fetch, request that you lead your army against the Ammonites and drive them out of our land.
You all hated me and mistreated me and chased me out of the land and refused to let me share in our father's inheritance. And now that the Ammonites are hating you and mistreating you and chasing you out of the land, you come to me and expect my help?
We need you.
Didn't I need you? Didn't I need your acceptance and your love?
Please.
Suppose I do help you. What's in it for me?
We are prepared to pay whatever you ask.
Money? Do you think my honor can be bought so cheaply?
Then what do you want?
If I do your bidding and protect you and your precious lands, then you and your brothers and the heads of the other families will make me your judge.
Our judge?
Yes, over all Gilead. Do we have a bargain?
We'll make you our judge.
Over all Gilead.
Over all Gilead. It will be according to your words.
Excellent! Then come, Brother Gamliel. Let us go inside and seal our bargain over wine.
Adina! Come pour the wine, girl!
Yes, Father. The crowd has thinned out a bit now, Brink. I'm going to try to go inside Jephthah's house.
You will wait out here.
But I'm Jared DeWight with OT Action News.
You will wait out here.
Right, like I was saying, I'll just wait out here. That was a very large guard blocking the doorway, Brink, so it looks like they're not going to let me in. Obviously, these folks have never heard of the people's right to know. Back to you in the studio.
Thank you, Jared. Let's turn to our Middle East expert, Eugene Meltzner. Any thoughts on what just transpired, Eugene?
Well, Brink, I think it's important to note that Jephthah did not request the title of king.
Yes. Why is that?
At this time, Israel did not recognize kings. The country was governed by judges. Judges were men, and at least one woman in the case of Deborah, whom God raised up to deliver Israel in times of trouble and distress. The name in Hebrew, by the way, is the participle of shepat, which, as you probably know, means...
No, I'm sorry to cut you off, Eugene, but I've just received word of an extraordinary development in this story. Let's go now to our Washington correspondent, Fred Schnappel. Fred, are you there?
I am here, Brink, and with me, live via satellite, are the two principal figures in this conflict. From his home in Mizpah is Jephthah. Welcome, sir.
Thank you, Fred.
And joining us from his palace in Ammon is the Ammonite king. Welcome to you, sir.
I am honored.
Let's start with you, Jephthah. Now, this meeting was your idea, suggested as a way to perhaps avoid continued conflict. What would you like to say to the king of Ammon?
Well, Fred, I would first like to ask him why his armies are invading our lands.
Your Majesty, do you have a response?
Yes, I do, Fred. It is not a matter of invasion. Rather, we are simply reclaiming that which is rightfully ours.
How so?
The Hebrew nation took away our lands when they came up out of Egypt from Arnon and Jabbok and Jordan. We have repeatedly demanded that these lands be restored peacefully. But our requests have gone unheeded. We felt we had no choice but to take the lands back by force.
Jephthah, how do you respond?
I say respectfully that the king is mistaken.
You call me a liar?
Sire, please.
I do not say that you are lying, merely that you have been misinformed. Israel did not take away land from either Moab or Ammon.
Then why would the king think you have, sir?
That is for him to answer. All I can tell you is the history of my people. When the children of Israel came up from Egypt, they came to the territories of Edom and Moab and asked permission to pass through. They refused. So Israel asked Sihon, king of the Amorites, for permission to pass through his land.
Now, just a moment, sir. The Amorites... Who were they?
I will answer that, Fred. The Amorites are our cousins who lived alongside us in the disputed lands. Sihon was a great king.
Perhaps, but he also refused to let the Israelites pass through the land and even gathered his people together to fight against Israel.
That was his downfall.
How so?
The Lord God of Israel delivered Sihon and all his people into the hand of Israel. They beat the children of Ammon and passed through their country.
You dispossessed us from our rightful lands.
We did not. The Lord God of Israel did.
There is no difference.
There is.
Gentlemen, if you...
By ourselves, we are nothing. But if the Lord God is for us, who can stand against us?
We will. We will fight you to regain what is rightfully ours.
Now, gentlemen, would
God
you...
gave us the land to possess. Why should you possess it? Go possess that which Chemosh, your God, gives you to possess. Whatever the Lord our God shall drive out from before us, that will we possess.
Son of a camel, you will not win.
Now, your majesty,
your
that kind of language.
You will not survive. You will be destroyed, and you, Jephthah, will die by my own hand. This discussion is over.
Your majesty, sire. Well, Jephthah, what do you have to say in the face of such a threat?
It is unfortunate that we could not resolve our differences peacefully.
With that in mind, what will you do now?
The king of Ammon has left us no choice. I will gather my men. We march on Ammon tonight, if you will excuse me.
I'm Fred Schnappel. OT Action News will return in just a moment.
And welcome back to OT Action News. I'm Brink Chetley. Well, several days have passed since Jephthah gathered his army and marched on Ammon. We take you now to OT Action News reporter Jared DeWhite in Jephthah's camp. Jared, what's happening?
Brink, it is a few minutes before dawn. Across a great valley, I can see the Ammonite army amassing for the coming battle. I've been trying to talk with Jephthah, but I haven't been able to. But now, he's kneeling in a small clump of trees and talking. I'm moving closer to see if we can hear what he is saying.
To you and you alone be all glory and honor and power. For you are the Lord. You have brought me to this place to do your will. Drive these Ammonites from the land you gave our fathers. To you, O Lord, do I make this vow. If you will without fail deliver the children of Ammon into my hands, then whatever comes from the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. Your will be done, O my God. Your will be done.
Back to you, Brink.
Thanks, Jared. Obviously a very private moment for Jephthah. Well, let's turn once again to our Middle East expert, Eugene Meltzner. Eugene, explain a little bit about what we just heard. Jephthah making a vow to God?
It was actually a very common occurrence in biblical times, Brink, especially in the Old Testament. The making of vows was a very traditional and personal matter.
As we just witnessed.
Indeed. Though it was not something commanded by Mosaic law, there were rules regulating the carrying out of vows.
Rules?
Yes. The purpose of a vow was either to win a desired favor from the Lord.
A la Jephthah's vow.
Correct. Or to express gratitude to him for some deliverance or benefit, or to prove absolute devotion to him by way of certain abstinences and nonconformities.
I see.
On the other hand, it may be that...
Eugene, I'm sorry, but I'm receiving word that the army of Israel is about to engage the enemy.
Ooh.
Let's go now to Jared DeWhite. Jared, what is happening?
The Israelite army is in place, Brink, and the Ammonites are marching across the field toward us. So far, the Israelites haven't made a move. Wait, Jephthah is stepping out now. He has something in his hands.
Men of Gilead, up and to your places! This day we will show these Ammonites that there is a God in Israel! Let's go!
This is unbelievable. The Israelites are throwing themselves into the Ammonite army. I've never seen anything like it. Bodies are flying everywhere. Man against man, sword against shield, horses against chariots.
Jared, be careful out there.
Don't worry, Brink. I'm in a pretty secure place. No one's gonna...
Jared? Jared? We seem to have momentarily lost contact with Jared DeWhite. Eugene, perhaps you can explain a little more about the weaponry.
Oh, well, yes. In addition to the ones just mentioned by Jared, the ancients also employed battle axes and spiked maces, bows and arrows, and the ever-popular sling, along with a type of weaponry that...
They're really going at it!
Oh, Jared, are you all right? You're breaking up.
Stepped on my mic. But I finally got it back.
What's happening?
The battle's raging on, Brink. Israel seemed to falter for a while, but they've regained... gaining the upper hand, and now they have the Ammonites on the run. And wait! Jephthah has caught up with the king of Ammon!
Jephthah!
Your army is on the run! Your chariots have been destroyed! You are defeated! The Lord my God has delivered you into my hand! Surrender, and you will be spared!
Never!
They're fighting now, going at it hammer and tongs, but Jephthah is clearly the better swordsman. He has the king down!
And now I'm an eye dog!
Jared? Well, apparently we're having more difficulty with our transmission, but if I heard properly, it would seem that Jephthah has led the Israelites to victory, Eugene.
Indeed, Brink. The children of Ammon are subdued before the children of Israel.
So Jephthah is, in effect, now the leader of Gilead.
Yes, and he also has a vow to keep...
Brink! Brink! Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Jared. What's happening?
Brink! It was one of the most incredible, yet disgusting, things I've ever seen. Jephthah has killed the king of Ammon, and the Israelites have chased the Ammonites out of the land. It is a huge victory for Israel.
And where are you now?
I'm on the back of Jephthah's chariot, and we're riding back to his home of Mizpah. Jephthah has sent messengers ahead to tell everybody the good news. The army is trailing behind us, at least those who are not chasing the Ammonites.
Excuse me, Brink. Did he just say that Jephthah has sent messengers ahead?
Yes, he did, Eugene. Why?
Well, it could cause problems.
Brink! Brink!
Excuse me, Eugene. Yes, Jared, I'm here.
People are rushing out from Mizpah to meet us. We're hearing music, tambourines, and lyres. We're just outside Jephthah's house now. It's a real celebration.
No! No!
Jared, what's happening?
I'm not sure. We stop now, and Jephthah has jumped out of the chariot and is running toward his house. There's someone running to meet him. It's Adina.
Adina?
The vow.
I'm moving closer to find out what's wrong.
Father? Father, what's wrong? Are you hurt?
No. No.
Well, then what is it?
You have done what the Ammonites could not. You have broken my heart.
Me? How?
My daughter, my only child. I have made a vow unto the Lord, and I cannot go back.
A vow? What vow?
My child, before the battle, I vowed to the Lord that if you would deliver the Ammonites into my hand, then whatever comes from the doors of my house to meet me when I return, I would offer up to the Lord for a burnt offering.
Father!
I'm sorry. My child, my only child, I am so sorry. I cannot go back on my vow. I cannot.
I know, my father. You have made a vow unto the Lord, and you must do to me according to what you have vowed. I only ask this one thing. Let me go up to the mountains with my friends for 2 months. To mourn that I will never marry. May I do this?
Yes. Yes, you may go.
Oh, my child. Father.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
I think we should go back to you in the studio, Brink.
Tragic. Truly tragic. Eugene, will Jephthah actually sacrifice his daughter in the fire?
A good question, Brink. Human sacrifice is forbidden in Israel under Mosaic law, which Jephthah obviously knows.
But we heard him vow that's what he would do.
Well, did we? Jephthah actually vowed that, quote, whatever comes from the doors of my house to meet me shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering, unquote. But that word and can also be translated as or, which would change the meaning of the vow completely.
I see. He would either offer something up to the Lord or burn it as an offering.
Precisely. But even if he doesn't actually kill his daughter, Jephthah has effectively destroyed his family line in Israel.
How so?
His daughter is his only child. If she never marries, she'll have no children, which is considered a great misfortune.
Oh, yes, of course. As I said, truly tragic. The sweet taste of victory turned bitter because of a rash vow. For Jared DeWhite, Charles Gestalt, Fred Schnoppel, Eugene Melsner, and the entire OT Action News team, I'm Brink Chetley.
We now return you to your regularly scheduled program, Already in Progress.
And that's why Christians shouldn't make vows, Lisa. Understand?
Yeah.
you repeat that verse one more time, please?
Certainly. Matthew 5, 33 through 37, where Jesus said,
"You've heard it said to the ancients, 'You shall not make false vows, but shall pay to the Lord your oaths.' But I say to you not to swear at all, but let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Any more than that is of the devil."
You've been listening to Adventures in the Bible, here on Kids Radio. Today's program featured Jared DeWhite, Eugene Meltzner, Edwin Blaggard, and Felonious Voce. And I'm John Avery Whittaker, hoping you'll join us again next time. Bye for now.
Jephthah's tragic vow actually led to a tradition in ancient Israel. For years afterwards, all the young women in the country would go into the mountains for 4 days each year to lament the fate of the daughter of Jephthah. Jephthah himself ruled Israel as a judge for the next 6 years, and he was such a brave leader that he is mentioned in the so-called Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. Adventures in Odyssey is a presentation of Focus on the Family. OT Action News' Jephthah's Vow was written and directed by Phil Lawler. Our production engineer was Todd Bastide. And I'm Chris, hoping you'll join us again next time for more Adventures in Odyssey.